Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Niro plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie, we began the conversation with people upset about those horrific figures from nursing homes. 359 residents of nursing homes died in January, in the 4.5 weeks of January. In the Republic of Ireland, a truly shocking figure, as the 1,000 figure was truly, truly shocking. And vaccination is now being talked about, and people, anyway, let's find out what people want in terms of more transparency and what's happening with the vaccinations. Sarah, good afternoon. Two families have are on the air now from relatives with Dublin Fire Brigade. Your partner is in Dublin Fire Brigade, Sarah. What's the vaccine story there?
Well, he's still waiting to be vaccinated. I think there's only 160 maybe that have had the first lot, and their second vaccine has been cancelled. They don't know when they'll be receiving it. My partner hasn't had a vaccine at all and doesn't know when, hasn't been given a date.
Was he given a date originally in January for the vaccination and it was changed?
No, I believe some of them were, and then it was cancelled and they haven't had it rearranged. But my partner, no, hasn't had a date at all.
OK, Rebecca is on the line as well. Stay there, Sarah. Rebecca, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Your husband is a member of Dublin Fire Brigade.
That's right.
Was he given a date for vaccination?
He was, Joe, yeah. So he received an email, basically, and then a phone call to say he was going to be scheduled in Phoenix Park. And that was on the 14th of January, the morning of the 14th. And then the night he went in on a night shift the night before, and then he rang me to say, oh, that's actually been cancelled. He got a notification from, I suppose, his HR department saying they'd been told it was cancelled due to supply chain issues. So that was all he found out at the time. And then since then, they've been given very little update regarding this, only that the unions and the HR are trying to get in touch with the HSE to no avail to figure out when they would get their vaccine. So he hasn't had any vaccine at all.
And what's it been like? Because I know members of Dublin Fire Brigade are trained, highly trained, not just firefighters, but paramedics as well. So not only would they be working on the fire engine, they'd be working on the ambulance. And what's it been like for the last year working on an emergency ambulance, knowing that COVID was out there?
I think it's very important for people to know out there that Dublin Fire Brigade, I suppose in the title itself, you know, it says Fire Brigade. And obviously they are firefighters, but they're fully qualified paramedics. And just to give you an idea of the scale of cases they cover, in 2020, they did just over 100,000 ambulance cases in Dublin.
Okay.
So that's not even covering the fire cases that they've done. That's 100,000 patient contact ambulance cases. And they will also have more than that, because in some instances, if they run out of ambulances, they'll send a fire truck because they're trained paramedics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been, you know, I mean, my husband is dedicated to this job. He's given 15 years, as have so many other frontline workers, not to forget about all the frontline workers out there. It's been really scary. You know, he's very close contact with these patients. And I think the main message I'd like to get out today is, you know, if we want to continue to provide, you know, a DFB service and paramedics out there to care for these people who are getting sick, we don't want them taken down with this virus, which is highly likely to happen. They go into nursing homes, hospitals all the time. And, you know, the HSE are indicating that they're nearly finished with frontline workers, and they're not.
So the date, 14th of January, which was a big day up in St Mary's in the Phoenix Park, it was on the news and the outdoor tents and the queue and all that kind of, they were due to get vaccinated that day. That was cancelled, but they weren't, were they not giving a later date?
No later date. And any queries, any kind of further update they've tried to get, they've gotten nothing, nowhere. So it's just up in the air.
And it's worth saying as well that I said this in a different context about 2 years ago when somebody said, will I ring the fire brigade or will I not ring the ambulance? And I said, the ambulance will never, ever, ever refuse to come out to you. Never, never.
Yeah.
It's part of their remit, and they never would anyway. It's part of their DNA. And it's the same, I presume, in the last year. I know in the last year that the ambulance could never refuse if they were called to a nursing home and they were told there was 20 unfortunate COVID patients there. They would not turn back. Never, never, never turn back. Now, Rebecca, have you got children? Like, given that every child in the country over three or four knows about COVID, I presume they know their dad is a firefighter stroke paramedic.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, they don't know what I do, but they know what their dad does. They're very proud of him. But, yeah, I mean, my son, you know, he's been upset at times, basically saying, you know, when is daddy going to get his vaccine? Is daddy safe tonight? And I'm like, oh, and then we were so excited he was going to get it, you know, and now I just have to explain, look, hopefully soon, hopefully soon. It's very scary. He has an elderly mother, you know, she lives by herself. Mm-hmm. He can't go and see her really that much. But, I mean, it's really, I think it's just, as I said, to get, I think it's for people to realise that how can we continue to help people who are sick out there? And that's what my husband wants to do. That's what he signed up for. It's a devotion. And how can he continue to do that if he comes down with the illness? And fire brigade have come down with it.
I know.
Very careful. They're very diligent, as I'm sure you know. Mm. But obviously, you know, no matter how diligent you are, this
it's an awful. As the doctor said, it's an awful virulent virus.
It just feels like they're not being recognised as frontline.
Okay. Sarah, your partner for the last year working in Dublin Fire Brigade, how has he managed?
He found it very difficult, actually. He's been in the fire brigade ever since I've known him, and I've never known him like this. When this first came out, he came home every day and just looked exhausted and tired and worried, because he was worried about bringing it home to me and our daughter. He found it really stressful, and I think after the first few months, they sort of got used to the new norm. And now the numbers have surged more than ever. It's rampant at the minute. There's, that I know of through my partner, there's lots of them that have been out because they have COVID or possible close contact, either at work or on the ambulance. There isn't enough of them to go round. So unless they get this vaccine, they're not going to be able to continue to help people. And it's really having a strain on them. I mean, at the minute, they've done over 11,000, I think, ambulance calls, he told me, this year already, and about 70% of those are COVID-related.
And remember, the London Ambulance Service, which is not run by the Fire Service, almost collapsed at the beginning of January. Well, they were in severe difficulties. Now, I know the National Ambulance Service will assist when Dublin Fire Brigade emergency ambulances are overburdened. But as Rebecca pointed out there, that number of calls per annum works out about 300 calls a day between the 11 or 12 different fire stations in Dublin. It's an incredible burden. But to all our frontline workers, including paramedics, let's hope to get the vaccination very quickly. But as it seems to be emerging, the vaccinations were diverted to nursing homes, which again is an awful scenario for everyone to be in, because of the chronic fatality figures in nursing homes and because of the nature of the environment. Rebecca and Sarah, thanks indeed, and thank your partners for their service as well. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815
and Joe@rt.ie. Jane Fallon, back to this horrific news. Now, we know the overall figures, 5,000 on the island, over 3,000 in the Republic of Ireland in less than a year. And this figure that was revealed this morning, that in the of the 1,000 who died, every family, every person grieved and grieving, 359 were in nursing homes, which is so disproportionate to the population, but it's much more complicated than that. You're a community nurse, and then we had paramedics, Dublin Fire Brigade families ringing in and say, we haven't been vaccinated and we're frontline every single day. What's the situation with community nurses, Jane?
Yeah, hi, Joe. I work for a private healthcare provider who's contracted by the HSC to deliver service in the community. And I don't think we've been thought about. That's how I feel. I registered through the portal and I've given my contact numbers and everything. But to date, we've not had a date for our vaccine. So my job is I go in once a month to a family to give an injection to premature babies and babies with cardiac condition. And we do visit families who have been COVID positive, obviously, during this lockdown. So our visits are about 30 minutes long. It can be an hour if we've got twins. And obviously, we're just kind of waiting to hear when it's our turn.
Have you looked at the list? I know Minister Oisín Smith did a graph. Have you looked where you are on the graph?
No, I haven't, because there was a delay then with the delivery of the vaccines. You know, they've it's all gone pear-shaped, really. Yeah, and even when I was registering in the portal, my job description wasn't there. Yeah. One of the girls, bless her, she actually ticked that she was a public health nurse, because there wasn't actually a box for us to actually tick.
Oh, wasn't it? No.
Yeah. So we're still waiting. Now, I have been on to the INMO, and they're looking into our case as well, because we don't belong to a hospital, we don't belong to a GP practice, we actually work from our home, and are actually the company that I work for, they've actually looked into it as well, and they're trying to hurry it through, but as yet, we don't know.
And Jane, when did community, I know there's public health nurses, which are obviously part of the HSE, but when did community nursing privatise?
No, sorry. We work in the community. I work in the community for a private company, delivering a service for the HSE.
Oh, you're delivering for the HSE.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not a public nurse, but we go into the homes every month and we weigh the baby and we give them the injection. Yeah.
But you would specifically deal with children who are unwell.
So there's a risk that I'm actually bringing it into the home as well.
So you're dealing with that population, that specific population. But I'm saying, was that job ever done directly by the HSE? It must have been.
Well, initially, years back, it was actually delivered in the hospital. But what they were finding was that these babies who were well to a point were actually coming into the hospital and actually contracting RSV that we were trying to prevent them catching. So it was moved into the community to reduce the workload in the HSE then.
But I'm just thinking of nursing homes. Our nursing home scenario went from, I know demographics were changing and bulging, but our nursing home went, I think, from 80% public nursing homes to 80% private nursing homes. That's the difference. Jane, that's an incredible, challenging, but I'm sure extraordinarily rewarding job you have.
Oh, it's fabulous. I love it. Hello to the mums out there waiting. And it's been very hard on them. They've had a brand new baby. They've been told they're not allowed to go out of the house. And they look forward to our visits because we're the only people that they see.
Okay.
I love it, Joe.
Oh, Jane, thank you so much for your service,
thank you
and the community nurses. Sheila, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your son is in the fire brigade.
He is.
Have you got me on the PA system in the station there?
I had the radio on. Sorry, Joe.
Sounded like I was talking to the yard in Dolphin's Barn, telling all the lads to get the emergency tender out. Tell us, Sheila, your son.
My son hasn't been vaccinated, and I'm just cutting my voice because
it is serious.
Frustrated. I've been sending in texts to Claire Byrne and stuff, and probably she doesn't get them. But it is, because, Joe, they are the very first on the scene. They are the first of the first.
And how's he managed? It's a year now.
Yeah. Well, they got the appointment to get her there, didn't they, about a week and a half ago, which was cancelled, and he had signed the form, and he was quite anxious to get it. He was glad to get it, and they've got to dress up and all that PPE stuff or whatever it is, no matter what case they go to, because they don't know. I mean, you could have just broken your leg, but you also have COVID.
And how are you, Sheila? How are you managing in the
pandemic? Well, I mean, I live on my own, and as I was saying to your researcher, I'm in my 80s, and I'm all right. But he is my main carer that looks after me. Yeah. He's not living with me now.
Of course, but he has to. And how's he managed that?
Well, mostly we open the window.
And what, he slows down the fire engine and throws in your half pound of mince?
No, he doesn't. But like, he will every time he's coming, he'll say, now I'm coming up a night, okay, to want you to bring up anything,
right.
or like that. But now he had to bring me to the hospital there a couple of weeks ago. I had to go to the hospital. I was surprised that the appointment was still there, but it was. So like, he's there with me now. He takes great care and he's covered up as best he can be.
Yeah.
But I just think they feel bad. Yeah. I think they feel that, like, on any list that's read out, they never kind of add in the ambulance now. I'm sure it's the HSE done. I'm sure they've all the ones have been vaccinated. I hope they have. But they never seem to mention the fire brigade. And they're more on the ambulances than they are on the brigade.
I know that.
You know that, Joe. Yeah.
You're mad about him, aren't you?
I am crazy about him. And he's worth it. He's pure gold.
Is he? What's his first name?
So Dial. I think you might know who I mean.
And what station is he in?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
No, I want to get him. He'll be slagged for the rest of the week.
I know.
His mammy was on live and saying how he's gorgeous. But, and I'm sure he's the most handsome firefighter
gorgeous.
Okay. No, well said. Sheedy, you look after yourself.
I will, but I just wanted to add, you know, do them. Get them done up and do them. I know there's so many waiting, but they are the first on the scene. Really the very first. And they should be done.
Right,
okay, and they're a great bunch. Thank you, Joe. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Sheila. Okay,
as are Dublin Fire Brigade, every firefighter and paramedic in the country. That's just the beginning. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Mark McGrath, Maeve Mooney was the BCO. Neve Dunn was on research. And today's producer was a series producer, Rebecca Meehan. Ray Darcy's next.